Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la.
It's Black Friday, it's the day trippers, and it's Christmas time! Okay, tonight on the Day Trippers, it's our Black Friday special. Okay, and we're going to talk about Steven Gerrard's retirement from professional football, just being announced yesterday. We're going to have a chat with Neil and Phil, who are in the bunker here with me, about Southampton game at the last weekend, the upcoming Sunderland match as well, and as always, we'll take a few Trippers chats as well. It's the Day Trippers. Right, so lads, listen, Thursday night, late in the week, we're recording. I've got Nilo and Phil here with me. Say hello, lads.
How are you, Phil? How are you, Steve-o?
Hello, Neil. How are you? Right, I love your new hairdo.
It's wonderful.
We'll be tweeting that later on.
It's a work in progress.
Well, no, I can understand that, but we do like to tweet an old Neil haircut update.
You've got some hair for growing. Because like, you got a cut short in the summer.
It was bald a minute ago.
I know, and now it's long again.
I saw him on Tuesday and he'd no hair. Now I think he got plugged.
How far does that come down now? Does
it come down? Got plugged?
Yeah.
That's why I walk funny.
Yeah. You got pegged.
Does it come down past your nose? Oh, fuck off, Denise, will you? CR34. Six of them.
Go on. What are you asking?
What? I was just wondering, does it come down past your nose?
Yeah, it does. Like, that's an impressive
Some
length.
Grout in it, isn't there?
It's unbelievable, Jeff. You know what? You're like a pair of guns from the flock.
You're like Morrissey there when he was on the gear.
He should have been in the fucking wedding singer. Remember the wedding singer? You remember the wedding singer? He's the fucking spitzer.
Do you know what they've done in Norton House?
15 miles to the gallon.
Is it?
Genuinely, do you know what they've done in Norton House? They put bus stops in the car parks in Norton House, right? Obviously, the bus doesn't turn up to it, right? But they put a bus stop in sort of the old people because they're a bit dithering. Confused, right? They go out and sit at the bus stop. So what happens was now.
This is real.
When they used to break out of the nursing home, right, and they'd have the staff would have to go find them. 9 times out of 10,
they found them at the nearest bus stop,
right? So instead, what they've done, they just put their own a Dublin bus stop in the grounds of the nursing home with a bench beside it. So the lads from the home come outside,
go to
sit
the bus
there,
stop.
Wait for the bus that's never going to come,
and then they just
staff
come out and collect them.
Come on, George.
They're going back in. Yep.
Nah, I know. Better look, a bus will come and take him away. Covered in his own feces. He's coming to us all.
With a bit of luck.
Nah, I've been that cat, let me tell you.
I know, I can see.
On the way home from Diva one night. I told the taxi man I fell in dog shit.
He's dead, you didn't, mate.
And I said, it's grand, I have a plastic bag wrapped around me. Walking down the nice road with a plastic bag wrapped around me and covered in my own poo. He said, after my sister had to come and collect me. Just about 4 o'clock in the morning, my sister Emma already collected us and had to shit myself. So I wasn't long out of hospital, I hadn't great bowel control. So I'll be there in a minute and she's, oh Neil, it's everywhere. No, she said, will you get in the boot? So I had to get in the boot in my sister's car covered in my own poo.
Did you have two crutches
with
or one crutch?
Dunn's bag out. Wait, I put my feet through it.
Yeah.
like underpants, yeah. I was on two crutches at the time.
You're on two crutches then. Oh, I really wish I went to Diva around that time.
Taxi man, now, mate, I'm not taking you.
No,
that's your shit.
No dog did that.
Your shit, mate.
As you got to Diva around that time, that story would have ended up in a pod. As you witnessed anyone who saw this night, I was up in Diva.
I saw this mad come. He was.
I said to the taxi man, I'll give you £100, mate. And I said, no, I've only got a £10 around me. Because it's just my pocket is full of my own shit.
But when I watched that on
and a brand new pair of Hugo Boss shoes on as well. Counting them, a poo going into the back of them and everything. I had to do a handstand in the fucking shower. so embarrassed. Going back to me. I was living with a girl at the time, going back to the gaff. Everything all right? Yeah, just going to have a quick shower. Nailed the shit all over the bathroom. Well, where else would you want to be?
Good times.
Terrible.
Good times.
Like around the time I fell in the canal.
When did you fell in the canal?
I was walking along. I went off to see how close, what the store, because my gaff was just the other side of it.
And I kind where of were you living?
I stepped into his real marshy up to me. I went up to about me, say, midway up to me shin. I said, ah, sure, fuck, I might as well swim across now. it was getting bright out. And I knocked on the door and it was covered in black head to toe and all the kind of reeds all over me. This was St. Patrick's morning. I was supposed to be going to parade.
Yeah.
What happened? You? So you're not going to believe me, I fell in the canal. What are you swimming in the canal for?
Came in like Wookiee.
Poor sister and her fella were staying in the gaff. Get in there, you naked man. Everything all right? What the fuck? He's covered in black shit and ree and weeds. What a night, what a night. She said I was ringing you for ages. It'd be following us in the fucking canal.
I was going camouflage so you wouldn't see me coming in.
I didn't want the guards to catch me.
I might have been with Damo that night.
Damo hasn't been seen since.
No, she's not allowed to play at me. No. Anyway, go on.
I can understand why. Right, so that took a bit of a tangent. But yeah, it's Thursday, late in the week. And we've got the news today that Steven Gerrard's officially retired from professional football. How are we feeling about it, lads? Phil?
No point asking me. We've already.
No, there's lots of point asking you. I want an alternative view because I suppose everybody's going to be out there today talking about how he's their favourite ever player.
Right? Well, he's not my number.
I know he's not. He's not in your top three, is he?
No.
Okay, so, which is interesting in itself, you know. And I think you'll have a little piece in the Liverpool Echo.
Oh, there's something coming up.
Something coming along. Right, okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The woman with the qualifications.
The woman with the qualifications.
Yeah, but then you tell stories about shitting yourself.
Yeah, I haven't covered myself in glory there.
Brand Nilo is about as strong as Brand Steve-O at the moment.
I learned how to type during the week now. Nice. I have to practice now.
He's up there. Yeah, he's up there practicing.
Which I had, like Christy.
Mavis Beacon.
Type him on.
Stuck to his forehead.
Sellotape to his forehead. Hey, big.
Anyway.
There's two sides. He obviously deserves all the accolades because if you look at the whole Liverpool fan base, you aren't revered as a player without being able to attract that emotion from fans.
Yeah. Right?
So and that's fair, but you know we've already said goodbye to him.
Yeah, true, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So we're saying goodbye, like he hasn't played for Liverpool for the best part of 2 years now.
No, absolutely. I don't think people are saying goodbye to him now. I think you're both being harsh, but I think they're just reflecting on the fact that he finally is packing it in. You know, he's no longer going to be a player. You're not going to be like people did watch him with LA Galaxy. It didn't turn out how he wanted, but people did go and watch him. You know, if they wanted to follow him. Now he's finished up, and it's the next stage for him. Is he going to coach? Is he going to manage? What's he going to do? So people are interested in him as a person because so many people want to see him back at the club.
Well, see, I'd be amazed if he makes a good coach because his pronouncements that he's put out in the press in terms of who he rated and what he liked and all that type. No, but I'm being straight now, Stephen.
I understand what you're saying. I think a lot of that is down to him being a captain and him having to say certain things about certain people.
I genuinely think that he wouldn't make a good manager or a coach.
I don't think 12 months ago Steven Gerrard's on the television giving Aaron Ramsey stick. Last night he was. And I'm just using that as an example.
He's not speaking as a representative of a club.
He's no longer speaking as a player. He's now speaking as an individual who used to play, a fairly high-profile individual who can speak his mind. I think the next 6 to 12 months might actually show you who the real Steven Gerrard is off the pitch.
I love him.
Well, I have a huge amount of time for him as well.
I know you do. Yeah, hero worship.
I can understand it. Like, I've said it to the lads, I've said it to you.
I'm not trying to...
And I totally understand it. I just, for me, you know, we said our goodbyes to him a couple of years ago. He's retired today. Fantastic. But then then you're saying, remember his moments for Liverpool. We've done all this 2 years ago.
I know.
We have this phenomenal desire as a fan base to keep looking to the past and talk about the past. The future's what's important to us now at this stage.
Well, the only thing I can say is I can only imagine what the thought process behind Steven Gerrard retiring would be if we weren't doing as well as we are right now. You know, you'd have this fanfare for the next 6 or 8 weeks. Now, that's not saying he doesn't deserve it. In my mind, he's an amazing player, has given all of his, let's be honest, his proper career to Liverpool. You know, going to LA was just go and play a bit of football in the sun with Robbie Keane get a few bob in the back pocket. That's absolutely fair enough. But he gave his entire, you know, proper professional career to Liverpool, and that has to be respected because so many others didn't. You know, when you look at even the people.
Well, he had the opportunities to go to Madrid a couple of times. And
yeah, you put your you look at your list of greats.
Didn't he Milan and Chelsea that time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he just didn't go to Chelsea because Liverpool offered him more money, but still.
There was, I think there was more to it than that.
Up there with the very, very best. Now, I'm not going to say he's the best because I didn't see some of them playing in their prime, but he's certainly in the top five, in my opinion.
I think he has to be. Yeah, for me personally, he is the best because I've seen the most of him, and I can guarantee you, if I'd seen Kenny Dalglish playing, if I'd seen Graham Souness playing, if I'd seen John Barnes, whoever it might be, like John Barnes gets rated in that category. But truthfully, what did we get? Maybe three good seasons out of John Barnes, and then his Achilles was done.
No.
What I mean by that is in terms of that electrifying John Barnes that everybody talked about, he had to change his game after about three. Was it three seasons?
No, it was longer.
When was it? 91, 92 that he had to move.
Sure, he'd signed for us in 87.
87. Okay, so but okay, you're talking four seasons.
I'm with one.
87, 88.
Three leagues at that stage.
Yeah, I'm not denying that, but what I'm saying is that's three seasons. So that's like saying Luis Suarez is in your top. That's like saying Luis Suarez is in your top three all-time Liverpool players.
He is, yeah.
See, I understand what you're saying, but I think if you were able to shorten Steven Gerrard's 15-year or 18-year career into a couple of seasons, then you would look at the season where he scored, what was it, 23 from the right of midfield? You know, and you'd say that was an absolutely exceptional season. The season we won the Champions League.
Yeah, but again, see, again, like, and this just comes down to personal preference.
No,
right?
I'm not trying to shout you down.
I've never seen a player like Suarez play for Liverpool since John Barnes. Basically, those type of players are so unique and so amazing, they just change everything. They change absolutely everything, right? Now, Steven Gerrard was an incredible footballer and he dragged that team to win trophies and the whole lot. And I absolutely agree with that point of view. And I think he was a wonderful, wonderful footballer, right? But there's a difference between wonderful footballers and truly unique, special talents that you're not going to see. You're not going to see another...
In my opinion, Gerrard was at his peak, was at a level equivalent to where Suarez is now at Barcelona or when he was at Liverpool, in my opinion. Although they were in different positions, I think they were on a par in terms of ability.
I wouldn't disagree with you there. I think we're looking at a player who we scrutinised week in, week out, and therefore you're going to find flaws. You're going to pick out... Sorry, what I was getting at about having not seen those players that are revered as amazing players for Liverpool, the Dalglishes, the Keegans, the Barnes, whatever. We didn't get to see them week in, week out. We didn't see their shit matches. So when we look back on clips of Liverpool, it's predominantly in games that Liverpool won, maybe cup finals, maybe, you know, special games that happened. So, of course, they were the games that they excelled in. We didn't see when they went and played Coventry, you know, and they had a shite match. But we'd see every single bit of Gerrard, and it's scrutinised because of media coverage, because of the age that we're living in, and it's live for us at this moment in time. So I think maybe it can actually work against Gerrard in that we're overly critical of him compared to those other players that we've just seen but snippets of.
I don't see it. Like even his worst critic would still have him in their top five Liverpool players. Anyone that's born from the 70s onwards would have him in their top five Liverpool players.
Yeah, I don't think he couldn't. I think he's just... like. He's so many I can't speak tonight. So many match-winning moments in huge games. And that's the sign of a top player.
Listen to me, that's what I'm saying. But when it comes down to who do you think is the best player, right? It's always personal preference.
Yeah, of course it is.
Detracts from his impact. It does, if you're bringing it down to that, because it is personality and personal preference there. So that,
if you're trying to look at it coldly,
if you're trying to examine how good he was for Liverpool, that there's no point because. Over the space of his career at Liverpool, there was no one that came close to him, in my opinion.
What gets to me about Gerrard is I always believed that he was his own worst enemy.
I know what you're going to say here, probably in the fact that he always begged and wanted to be a central midfielder when it was clear as day it was not his best position.
The best number 10 in the English game.
Yeah.
Right? He was the best.
And he was on par with anything
in
Europe.
Whatever way you want to call it, support striker, number 10, fucking creative fulcrum. He was as good.
False 12.
That he was as good. He was as good as any of them.
No.
It's not one of them.
This is. Trey Cortista. No, he was without doubt, he could stand toe to toe with anyone in his generation in that position, and very few could touch him because he could score goals, score free kicks, and create the stuff that was going on
the
around
thing
him.
He had with Torres as well.
His biggest issue was he didn't want to play there. He wanted to play in centre.
He wanted to do what Alonso did.
Yeah.
In his mind, he wanted to be what Xabi Alonso was, but he never was that player.
It was never that player because you have to have a different brain and a different mindset to play in that thing. He was all action. He was great in chaotic football. The reason why he worked so well with Suarez as well in that season was that it was chaotic, mad football. When him and Torres were at the best, it was chaotic and mad. It was we fucking batter a team all over the shop. Suddenly we'd break. It'd get to Gerrard and Torres, and this electric pace, quick balls, quick passes, all that type of stuff. That's when it went on, and it was generally in broken parts of play. When you had to get into that skillful, tactical, you know, that real sort of European type game. That's why he was left further up the pitch by Benitez than other managers, because they needed the Mascheranos and the Alonsos to pull those strings in midfields, and even the Dietmar Hamanns in the 2005 in the Champions League final, to pull those strings and tell Gerrard, you go and cause your fucking destruction. When the ball comes into the middle toward the final toward, that's when you come alive. Ignore the
So you think then that he didn't fulfil his potential?
Yeah, I think he could have easily won a Ballon d'Or as the greatest player in the world and stood up as one of the greatest players in the world as a number 10.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think had he stuck it out there, because, you know, he did do the same things with Suarez in a sense that he did with Torres.
Yep.
But if he'd done that 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean by that. If he hadn't, if Brendan Rodgers had been a stronger minded manager, if there'd been a more experienced manager to come in instead of Brendan Rodgers, and Suarez was there as the replacement for Torres, he could have continued that partnership with Suarez.
Yeah.
And been excellent in it and being recognised as one of the best players ever in that position. You can look at Steven Gerrard for me and say he was absolutely exceptional for Liverpool. He had exceptional moments. If you were picking an all time 11, would you put him in central midfield?
Not for me, and that's not for me.
And I think any honest Liverpool fan.
Where does he go in it then? Because he has to go in it.
So he goes. Mm. He has to go in behind. Like if you're thinking about where, of course you can put him in a fucking back three if you want because you're picking the team.
No, but logically he goes
in right midfield or he goes in off the striker.
Off the striker,
because they're where he had his best seasons. He had four good months. He had four good months.
I'm not getting into that.
I know what you're going to say, but he had four good months in the 13-14 season where he excelled in that role in central midfield. Other than that, he never excelled in that position. Never. You know what I mean?
He never excelled.
In my opinion. What season was it then?
Pick a season.
The
year that Liverpool won the Champions League, he was arguably...
But he wasn't playing central midfield.
He's playing off the right.
No, so what are you saying? You're saying he never excelled as a centre midfielder.
In a midfield too, he never excelled.
Oh, I think that's very unfair now.
But I really do.
He maybe not have been as effective as he was as
the
a number 10,
time,
but he was still...
No. The only time it worked...
Why Gerrard was so good was he was good. He was good at everything.
No, see, that's the problem.
That's not a cliche. He wasn't good at everything.
Because he was actually positionally very... poor.
Unaware.
He was very unaware of... when I say positionally
early in his career, I'd say he was.
And later as well.
Late in his career. He constantly had players making runs in behind him and losing them. Where are they gone? Yeah. It happened regularly.
And I'll tell you what, the greatest example was this, was that one of... he never got to play with Thierry Henry, but he gave him about 4 assists in his career.
How are we kind of praising Gerrard? Now we're used to our name.
Weird.
That's funny.
I'm his biggest fan.
I didn't
ever
say that.
But he's shit. He never tracked a player in his life.
I never said he didn't track a player. He was one of the finest players I ever can remember seeing in terms of getting after a fella and chasing him down 60, 70, 80 yards and nailing him with a perfect tackle. I've seen very few players who can do that. What I'm talking about is when he was stationary, we were 30 yards from our own goal. His awareness in the sense of if we're banked with our back four in the box, midfielder maybe 10 yards in front of that, he gave players space in between him and the back four to get in around them.
For me, I always take Gerrard's career in three phases, right? There was the pre-Rafa phase, the Rafa phase, and the post-Rafa phase.
Okay.
Right? The pre-Rafa phase was probably arguably the time when he played his best centre midfield games, when he was full of running, full of athleticism. Yeah.
Alongside
Hammond.
With Julio, yeah.
Right, with Julio. The Rafa phase... He's saying, yeah, this guy will run all day for me, but I need somebody much more disciplined that control my midfield. As soon as Rafa stopped playing him centre midfield and put him into 10, he went from being...
Well, he put him right first.
I know, but in terms of putting him in, he went from being an excellent English player to one of the best in Europe in terms of where
he
was
playing
and impacting the game and what was there, right?
Absolutely.
After Rafa leaves, we have a series of weak managers who just allow him to play wherever he chooses and wants to play. And I'll include Kenny Dalglish in that as
well. Of course.
Because Kenny would let Stevie play anywhere because Stevie was the captain, right? And that was Stevie's biggest problem. Because instead of being forced to say, no, you're staying as a 10 and you're going to play there. And I know you can't run as quickly and you can't move as fast, but this is where you adapt your game and you've got the intelligence to adapt your game. He could have done what Toddy does, where he just sits.
Yeah, but I think it was probably selfless of him to say, I have to get in centre midfield here because this is where I'm most needed.
But he wasn't most needed there.
But in his mind, I think it was selfless of him to do that. And not say, I'm going to stay up number 10 now, scratch me hole.
No, because he wouldn't have been scratching his hole. I think, if anything, and he...
You know my feelings on number 10s. It's the easiest position in the world.
I do. It's easy to hide in a number 10
position. Yeah, you don't really have to score. You don't really have to tackle.
But it's not easy to be a world-class number 10. That's the difference.
It's easier than any other position.
It's easy to hide. So what I'm saying is, I don't think he was selfless in... as you say, coming back into where we really needed him. Because we didn't really need him there because he was never truly very effective there. And if he hadn't played there, maybe we'd have signed somebody else who could have done that job. Now, my only worry is Brendan Rodgers might have signed Scott Brown to do the job, and that's fucking frightening. So, I watched him the other night. He's that midfielder for Celtic that people were banging on about being a good signing for Liverpool.
Oh,
he could have improved our midfield. But anyway, we won't get into that. What I'm saying is, you look at the likes of Zola, you look at the likes of Totti, you look at players like that who are capable. He didn't need the yard of pace that he was losing if he'd stayed in that role, because his passing ability and his ability to see opportunities for the strikers and the players around him was second to none. Uh-huh. Some of the balls he played into to Suarez,
even
to Torres, to whoever it was, his ability to pick up little pockets and play a pass, I think he could have excelled, and he would have got better and better in that.
The bit that's interesting for me,
the only thing is, like, surely some of the managers he played with would have figured that out before he was two.
You would think that, but we're very, very smart men. So there is that. Hang on a second. Who are you looking at? You're looking at fucking Roy Hodgson. Do you think he figured anything out before we would have?
4-4-2.
He figured how to get another contract off the English.
That's not fucking hard. They're about to give one to Gareth Southgate.
4-4-2.
So Stevie was better off as the one behind the one?
I think one behind the one. 1.5.
I actually think the most interesting thing would have been if you could take Steven Gerrard at 25, let's say, and stick him into the Jurgen Klopp team, because his skill set in terms of the way Klopp wants his midfield to play
would have been amazing.
Would be you know where he plays, Wijnaldum or Lallana?
Who? Wijnaldum, never heard of him.
No, he's never been seen on the pitch.
Hang on,
everyone. He's got the most hidden assists in the league this season. He does.
He's got the most hidden fucking passes.
Hidden passes as well. He's critical. But no, if you know the way Lallana is all energy and getting around. Steven Gerrard in that type of role would have been incredible to watch. And that's the one that the absolute blunderbussing, running around looking for everything to happen, and
making it happen.
And making it happen.
Because he would have weighed
because
in with more
you're
goals.
Free. Lallana is free of that defensive responsibility and having to look in the tackle.
That's he does left, get back and help, but
that's left to Chan and Henderson to pick up. And in the same way as the same way Rafa got the best out of Stevie in terms of saying, look, Mascherano and Alonso was there to hold her. You just go and cause fucking mayhem, and that is when Gerrard excelled.
Yeah, I think what you had Mascherano and Alonso behind him.
Yeah,
I mean, and when those two left, who was left then? Like
Lucas and
Aquilani. That's enough of that, isn't it? Principino or some shit.
Aquilani.
I think we're really understating here.
Aquilani Kounigovic.
Like, he's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
he got us through the whole Champions League thing in 2005. Not single-handedly, that's it, not justified.
Well, that would be a bit unfair. And Florence Cinema Pongo.
And Neil Mellor. And Luis Garcia. And Sammy Hupia.
Luis Garcia, especially in that 2000.
Yeah, Sammy Hupia scores that goal against Juventus.
Scott Carson, a great guy.
Right,
in the goal.
Then, what are we saying? He was shit then.
No.
This is pointless.
Why is it pointless? We're just talking.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like what you're saying.
That's, we're here to drive debate.
There's no point. I don't want to debate, which is
but
because
I'm sick,
no
I'm
point.
Sick of coming in here and everybody be going, oh yeah, we all think the same. Let's all say the same thing. This is fucking great.
Yeah, I know. It's shit. Groupthink.
It's actually shit.
Okay.
You can go to lots of other podcasts for that if you want.
I can't really.
No, you can't.
You can if you want.
They won't have me.
Anyway, so let's move on to the thoughts of him coming back.
I know.
As well.
Taking a coaching role in the club.
Again, I don't see the point in it.
Okay. Well, it's hard to say that without knowing what his capabilities are as a coach.
Yeah, but I don't, and I said it at the very start of this, I don't think he's going to make a great coach.
And that's fair enough, that's your opinion, but there is no way of telling that.
But I would not have an issue with him being brought in to be trained up or brought into, you know, to in the same way as the German clubs and the Spanish clubs do. They're not afraid to bring in a Hierro or a Zidane, who was a club
legend,
Van de
Sar, oh yeah,
and be molded into the sporting director, yeah, who, yeah, now holds the values of the clubs true to form, and then becomes like is the global ambassador, is, yeah, also the sporting director.
That's exactly what I
and
think
overviews
he do
the success of what's going on.
Look at what Zidane did. He came in as that, then he went and managed the second team, then he, yep, stepped up and managed the first team, and you
there's
can't
been,
fault
there's
him.
Been a progression to where he is at the moment. And that to me is, that makes more sense than, because the problem that English fans have and fans of English football teams have is when the legend comes back in any type of coaching capacity,
when anything goes wrong,
that underlying current, yeah, is going to be there. I'd love to see Stephen Gerrard as manager. Oh, it'd be great if Stephen Gerrard was manager. It's the same thing as if Carragher had gone in as a coach,
yeah,
well, at the end of Brendan Rodgers, you got all the screams going on, get Jamie Carragher in as defensive coach,
yeah.
Now, had he come in and the defence had been shored up a small bit, right, then the next shout would have been Carragher should be manager and get Stevie in as his assistant manager, yeah. And that's not necessarily the right thing. It should be about to have the best people in the best roles.
It's not even a question at the moment. We have the best manager possible for our football club in the world. There's not personally one manager
it's
that
I
would swap
fit,
him for,
yeah. In terms of fit, without question,
in terms of
a perfect
fit, there's no one I would swap him for. So listen, we can put that out of our mind, and I said this, I think it was last week, I think we're very lucky that we have a manager that's so strong in personality that he's not going to be overawed or allow any sort of Stephen Gerrard show, as we saw in the press conference today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He news dismissed
reporter,
it, didn't he?
The reporter starts, yeah, asking him, oh, you know, was Stephen Gerrard one of the top players ever? And he shoots her down.
I don't know, only seen him
top players when? Are we talking Pelé, fucking Beckham, yeah, Rock? You know, yeah. And he says, what's the point talking about this? There's
I
no
think,
benefit
though,
to Stephen.
The manager we have there has strong enough personality to
deal with.
Not allow, if Gerrard did come in as a coach, not allow it to become the Gerrard.
Exactly.
So
that's
I don't think
we
have anything to be concerned about.
I think he could come in and it'd be managed quite well. And I think I was saying, I think Gerrard respects and would look up to Klopp and would look to learn from him. And therefore, I don't think you'd have the same sort of thing that you might have with Rodgers, where, yeah, actually the player coming in is more successful and more of a draw than.
I know, of course. He seems quite humble in certain respects. Sure,
I
remember.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Anyway, listen, we've had our yap about him. It's pity that he's hanging up the boots, but everybody has to do it eventually. And hopefully, we will see him in another way at the club if something can be done.
And not
the
right as a team captain on a league of our own.
No, absolutely. That would be quite depressing. So listen, we'll have a quick yap. We're fairly well into it now at this stage. So we'll have a quick yap about the Southampton game. Nothing too long. It was a nil-all draw. I know you lads got to see it.
I watched it a couple of times ago.
Did you watch it back just for
And then I watched a few of them.
All
the things on Twitter when they have the big arrows.
Yeah.
I watched some of that
too. A few
too.
Big arrows.
Yeah, deadly it was.
Was it?
Anyway, no, okay. I didn't see it.
Okay.
But I did a money mess.
Okay. But listen, it was a nil-all, but it was a very positive nil-all. First of all, taking a point from Southampton isn't a bad thing. Would you agree, Phil?
Nope. Go on.
Okay, thanks.
Fairly encouraging we didn't concede. It's the most encouraging thing
I would have
said.
It's a clean sheet for Karius. He wasn't really challenged too much, to be honest with you. Would you say he's not up to it?
He's not up to it. I don't think it's thanks to him we have a clean sheet.
Oh, no, not at all. No. But I'm just saying, from a confidence point of view, whether you, as Phil having been a, and Phil being a resident goalkeeping expert, you'll tell... He'll tell you himself whether you've actually had a part to play in the clean sheet or not. As a goalkeeper, it's nice coming off, not having to let it.
It's a stat. It's in your back pocket. Yeah. You're saying to yourself, we haven't lost another game.
Mm. Yeah. And
or you could also be saying, I'm still getting away with this shit.
Yeah.
Well, he played very well the week beforehand. So.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
It's international break. So, he's 5 so
yeah. He was at Melwood.
He was out in the Astro there, guys.
No, but in terms of a quick review of the Southampton game, I suppose. It's another clean sheet. Matip and Lovren played very well. Klein and Milner, nothing wrong with their game either, I don't think. I personally, as you have agreed with me, Phil, I was disappointed with Wijnaldum. People said he had an amazing first half. I thought he had a decent first half. I thought he had a poor second half. And I think the team is a hell of a lot weaker with him in it rather than Adam Lallana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a case to be made for the fact that Emre Can looks like he's munching on the donuts at the moment.
But he has always looked like that. This is nothing new.
No, he looks like that for a while. Then he trims up and then he becomes this.
He's
powerhouse.
Overweight.
He
has been since the day he signed.
No, he hasn't.
I don't understand how he gets away with it.
There was a point last season where he trimmed down that little bit and
he had the flu.
But I don't know. I don't know if he's overweight or what, but he's the type of player that, you know, international breaks was coming at the wrong time because the few games before the international breaks, he was starting to get a bit of form. You know, there was the second half of the previous match that he played well in. He was starting to do the old powerhouse and runs. We had Dave Thomas in here talking about how he likes to look for a player to go over and just barge through them and the whole lot.
Do you ever notice that Dave Thomas changes Emre Can's name 3 times in the one pod?
Yeah.
Emre Can, Emre Can.
I've lost patience with Emre Can. He's 100 games in now.
Of course
And he hasn't progressed.
Of course he hasn't progressed.
To the level he should be at now after 100 games in the Premier League for Liverpool. I think he's nearly...
Are you saying he's played 100 Premier League games for Liverpool?
Yeah, wasn't that... Or 100, wasn't it his 100th game recently?
I think it might be his 100th game.
As a professional. Okay, well, as 100th game as a professional, he hasn't progressed enough, I don't think. He hasn't become the player I thought or he was touted to become. And I don't think at this stage in his career he's going to reach the levels I hoped he would reach.
I think that's harsh on him, given he was fucked about in different positions for the first year and a half.
It can also be said that that's part of his football education, to play in different positions.
Football education's fair enough. Well, he's only... I'm just looking... What are you laughing at? You weirdo.
You
what? He's played 100 games for Liverpool, but 69 have been in, or 65 have been in the Premiership. So
okay.
He played 35 games outside of that. But I listen, is he going to reach the heights that were proclaimed for him? Probably not, because people were talking about him being, you know, one of the best youngsters in Europe. Was he ever that? Probably not, you know. Is he good enough to play in a title-winning team? Yeah, I think he is. Will he improve? Hopefully he will. But he's under a little bit of... He's lucky that we don't
have... Where is his... If you're going to say, no, he's going to play for Liverpool for the next couple of years in this position, where would you say he's going to play?
This is the problem.
Like, Henderson
has
taken the deep-lying thing, right?
There's the issue for him.
That's the thing.
Maybe that wasn't his perfect position either. He's more going forward, right?
Who?
If you're going to say that maybe Can is better suited to a more advanced role in midfield than deep-lying...
No, I think what's happening is...
I don't think he has a specific...
He offers a greater goal threat than Henderson pushing on, right?
Oh, and Henderson...
The goal stats will show it this season. But Henderson at the moment has done very well and bedded himself into where he is. Now, if Henderson picks up an injury and Shannon gets sitting back in front of that defence, then it changes things around. And that's what happened last season.
He's got 5 goals in 100 games.
Yep.
That's... In all competitions, and he's got 2-11 this season.
2-11.
So his average is 1-20.
Well, it's 2-11.
You have to
this
be
season.
Fair to him and say some of those games. Some of them were when he was playing.
All right. Well, okay. In my opinion, he hasn't. He's not as good as I hoped he was going to be, and I don't think he's going to get much better.
Well, Jordan Henderson scored 20 goals in 168 matches.
Yep.
So to say he's more of a goal threat, I don't think is fair
this season.
Well, this season, you know, we're only 11 games in. You know
but
what I mean?
But this season.
Okay. Has he been more of a goal threat? I don't know if he has. Like, he scored one goal in 14.
And Chan has got 2-11.
Yeah.
So Chan is a greater goal threat this season.
And that was, he has a greater goals ratio. But to goals to games
been a
ratio.
Bigger, bigger
but has he been
threat.
A better goal threat? Well, has he caused more saves?
Yeah,
you don't know if he has.
Yeah.
You don't know. Stop talking.
I've watched the fucking matches.
You haven't watched half the matches.
I have.
Did you watch the match of the weekend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I watched it with.
So if that's what your proclamation is for having watched matches, yeah. So stop talking bollocks. So
I'm not talking bollocks. I think that Chan offers a better goal threat in that midfield. I'm not saying I don't think he offers a goal threat, but I think he offers a bigger goal threat. Than Henderson.
That's because Henderson.
Well,
doesn't
matter. Henderson isn't playing the advanced role anyway.
Exactly.
But Henderson was playing the advanced role.
I know.
The
we're talking about
you're flipping
now.
It. So when you flip the fucking roles and you flip the roles at the moment,
you've got
Chan playing in that role and you've got Henderson playing in the other role. And at this moment in time, Jurgen Klopp is saying, "See the big fat lad? He's going to score more goals. See your man there with the hump on his back. He's better sitting in front of the defence. And as for you, Invisible, I don't know what the fuck you do, but as soon as Alanis comes
back,
you're going on the bench. Yeah. Because to be honest with you, I'm reading Twitter and all the lads on Twitter are saying how wonderful you are. And every time the lads on Twitter say how wonderful somebody is, it's basically just covering up that they're being shit. And the fact is, right, it was the same when Downing was there. I'm starting to hear the same stuff. Wijnaldum created 64 clear-cut chances in that game. Oh yeah, so, and how many did Downing create in the same game a few years ago? 64, yeah, grand. It just happens that none of the players happen to be in the places where he creates those clear-cut chances. Yeah. They aren't clear-cut chances.
I put a perfectly good clear-cut chance into the corner flag and you were in the box.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
In training.
Yeah. Do you remember Downing? He puts the balls into the dangerous area, whatever fucking XBRG.
It's only dangerous if there's somebody there to get on the end of it.
You can whip as many crosses as you want into the six-yard box. If there's nobody in the six-yard box to whip the ball into, it's a wasted fucking ball.
Yeah, it's poor decision-making.
Yeah. And what annoyed me about Wijnaldum at the weekend was that that's exactly what it is. And you come out, you look at the game afterwards and say, I just don't know what he does in that role. I just don't know what he does.
I don't know what he brings.
When we've played, I know we've gotten excited about Jarry when he's come in, although he's a kid. But when he comes in, you can see what he does in that midfield. He plays in the same role in midfield, and you can see.
I love a Jarry.
But even Grujic, when he's come in and played in that role in midfield, he looks like he's going to do something. But no, he looks like he's going
to
do something.
I don't know if he does. I've actually been a bit disappointed.
I just don't know what Wijnaldum brings to the team that Lallana can't bring, that dropping Coutinho back in and maybe playing Sturridge up there with Firmino.
Well, see, that's what I agree with. I agree with the fact that if we had, and we had got a fit Danny Ings ultimately, if you had three fit strikers and they weren't getting in ahead of Firmino and Lallana's out, for example, I don't see, for me personally, what Wijnaldum does that Coutinho doesn't do if he comes back into that position and gives you the option of Origi, Ings or Sturridge up top who are a more... Okay, listen, no one can fault the job that Firmino's doing up there.
No, no, no.
But what I'm saying is, if a change needs to be made, for me, the logical change is to bring Coutinho in to do the job that Lallana is, because that job is critical to how we play. Yeah. We've seen that. When somebody is in that role and isn't on it fully or disappears out of the game, we look blunt. Mm-hmm. The players in front of that person look blunt as well. So if you can bring a Coutinho into where Lallana is and you have those two players to play there, I personally agree with you here. Wijnaldum, I don't believe, was ever brought in to be playing the role that Henderson or Chan is, even though he started the season there because of injuries.
I'm not sure what role he was brought in for, to be perfectly honest, because he wasn't any more advanced at Newcastle.
I'm convinced they thought Coutinho was a huge bid was going to come in from somebody for Coutinho. And they were lining up a replacement for Coutinho. And it wouldn't surprise me if they've even thought, well, do you know what, we get him in for seasons, bed him into the club so he's bedded in, and he feels at home and the whole lot. And if Coutinho goes next summer, he'll just be pushed into the role where Coutinho
We have to accept he's going to go next summer, don't we?
Maybe not. So
I reconciled that with myself there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I would disagree a little bit in the sense that I think that's what happened last summer. I think the revelation was the Barcelona game in Wembley, whereby Lallana plays in the role he's playing now and is absolutely exceptional. And he has bags of energy, bags of ability to get in around the ball, press, win the ball back, play passes in tight areas and support the attack as well. And all of a sudden Jurgen Klopp looks at it and says, actually, you know what?
Let's have a look at Lallana about 70, 75 minutes.
That's all he's needed.
I know, he burns himself out in 75 minutes, doesn't he?
The hole in his heart.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's only got one leg as well. That's why you're kind of torn.
To be fair to the fella, he never looks like he's blown out of his arse. We used to slag him for the fact that he had to come off after 70 minutes because he looked panned out after 70 minutes. He doesn't look it now, but you know what? Klopp is being smart in the sense that he's got a squad there. We've got a very good bench. And you know what? It's normally Lallana coming off and Sturridge going on. You know what I mean? Like our Sturridge is normally the first substitute that's being made. Mm-hmm. So even if he's bringing Lallana off,
I think though the match there the weekend, you're going to get them type of matches.
Oh, you are. Over the course of
the important thing is not to lose them.
That's my point. Exactly.
And you know what? We have to be fair to Southampton. They did a very good job of staying tight. And we were very unlucky. Like Firmino, that's that shot in the second half.
Yeah.
If he just strikes that better, then it's a goal. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Client header.
Absolutely. I know.
But the one thing I want to say coming out of the back of this is this, the love in now for Virgil van Dijk.
It's ridiculous.
I do actually like him, and I have liked him since last season.
He looks like maybe,
and fair play for liking him.
He really does. He looks like a skinny either Penn or Teller, whichever one
that is. He looks like a baddie. I don't know when the guys are crazy, the big cakes is cocaine when they're getting on the thing in Miami.
Where do you want this shit, boss?
I wouldn't know anything about cocaine, Neil.
Would you not know?
No.
Anyway.
the love in now, and have a guess what?
What?
He's replacing Lovren in the team.
Of course he is. Yeah. It's Lovren's shy.
A swap for Sturridge and about 180 million apparently.
Yeah.
180 million.
Because anyone called Van Dijk anyway.
Because Lovren's shy, and he needs immediate replacing in the team.
Now, listen,
hang on a second. Do not let the fact that he is building quite a strong understanding and partnership
with
Joel Matip, and they're doing quite well together.
Did you know he was free, Matip? Have you seen the tables on the internet? Matip was free, right? And there was some other random geezer that was 10 million, and then at the top is that geezer off Chelsea that was 40 million. Zero. He cost Liverpool zero. Amazing.
And I've heard we haven't paid him any wages either.
No, he doesn't take anything.
No,
he's paid him wafers.
He's actually just
paid
him wafers. He's on an internship.
Company has
internship.
He's on an internship.
Diesel Mondale.
Job bridge.
4 year old Diesel Mondale.
He's on a job bridge.
From Dublin.
He's on a job bridge. Minimum wage.
Yeah. He gets 50.
Left hand drive Diesel Mondale.
He gets 50 quid a week on top of a scratcher to play for Liverpool.
And that's fair. And he gives the 50 quid back in subs.
Yeah.
Because you have to wash out the training kit.
Listen,
it's not like the local club.
Gaffer, I left my wallet at home.
It's not like the local club. It's 50 quid or else 20 subs.
Liverpool brought his man over now.
20 subs, just for a weekend.
But anyway,
Lovren is being sold now because we're signing Van Dijk.
Yeah,
we're not, but
Lovren's just being sold.
But
back
okay because even though we've sold Sacco, he'll be able to come back in and play along with Van Dijk.
That is a travesty.
Hopefully, we put a selling clause on the Sacco deal.
It's a travesty he's not in the team.
Can you believe we didn't put a selling clause on Sousa and he scored? Fuck off. Did you see that? I wanted to. Do you know if I could have pulled him through my phone, I would have.
Who was it?
Some fella. I hope we put a sellout clause in on Sousa when we sold him. He's brilliant. He's got 2 goals for Milan. Fuck off, he was
well,
shit.
Do you reckon we have a sellout clause for Balotelli? He scored 106 goals
we
this year for
Nice.
We actually
do, would you believe? And
what?
That's actually the truth.
What?
There's a sellout clause in it that if Balotelli is sold to another club from Nice, we actually
get 17 25 or 30%
of the 25 or 30% of the fee. Goes to Liverpool. So
really?
To be fair to Liverpool, and I was saying to it earlier on about we were talking on WhatsApp about the fact that McManaman and Owen left McManaman left
six
for free and Owen left for 8 million. But I'm just saying,
I don't know myself.
But they left for such small fees because the club were so lax when it came to minding contracts of players and making sure that they were well tied down and there was good clauses. The work since Klopp has come in, because clearly he's had an influence on it, the work in terms of shifting players on, making sure we have playing clauses in for players going on loan.
I think a lot of that is down to Ian Eyre, in fairness.
But why was it not done under Brendan Rodgers?
I think it's Michael Edwards. Isn't Michael Edwards a new sporting director?
Well, he was part of that
but
team.
This summer, in the last 12 months, right?
Yes, technically.
He's been shadowing.
He had the gig a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
He's been leading the deals that were done in the summertime, and he was shadowing Eyre since last Christmas time. So all the renewals and stuff.
Did Eyre know he was there, or was he just lurking behind him?
Eyre hadn't a clue.
Michael Edwards was behind him going, vroom, vroom, vroom. I'm a sexy motorbike.
He was dressed as a motorbike, walking around the office.
Anybody seen Michael Edwards? Vroom, vroom,
vroom. Oh look, the motorbike's going back out again. Oh Michael, where were you hiding? Who's Michael Edwards?
I've no idea.
Right,
he's a sporting
right now. I'm not imagining that.
Maybe we call him Mickey Begirsticket.
Listen, we move on. We've spoken about Southampton enough. It was fucking
Matip is great, by the way. So just
Matip is great. Now I'm fucking sick of people talking and just saying Rolls Royce of a defender. He's a fucking Rolls Royce of a defender.
I'd have more of a Bentley.
He's just a good fucking defender. Just shut up. He's good.
See, the problem
enough.
Is we're just not used to it. We've looked at Skirtle there for fucking years.
Yeah.
This is true.
And that just breaks.
Is he Hansen-esque? Are we going to say that about him?
He didn't know who Alan Hansen was.
No, he's
who
more.
Didn't?
He's more Daniel.
Joel Matip.
He's more Daniel Agger-esque.
Because he was asked in an interview.
And he said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair enough.
I don't know who he is.
Well, I'm delighted he said, I don't know.
Yeah.
When he said, what was your favourite moment in Istanbul? What? I was on the piss with my mates.
What was your favourite
crack.
Moment in Istanbul? I went over 3 years ago with my ma. Had a lovely weekend.
She didn't be having me in a hooker.
When we played Turkey.
Yeah, but let's not get into that now.
That was from my last year.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, that's obvious. We're rambling now.
It's been a ramble since minute one, so let's not worry about that.
In my opinion, Stephen, right, in relation to Joe Matip.
I didn't actually ask.
I know. So let's just carry on.
We'll move on to Sunderland this weekend. So I don't think Adam Lallana is going to be back. So what do you do? For me,
Wijnaldum.
Wijnaldum has to stay in the team.
He brings so much to the team.
For me, it's Sturridge or Origi. If he doesn't fancy Sturridge, he must, because he's bringing him on before Origi in matches. But I can't look at him and take him seriously. He's bringing him on. He's bringing Sturridge on earlier in games, but he's not starting him in many matches. For me, I'd start him. Drop Coutinho back in. It'd be Mane, Firmino, Sturridge, Coutinho, Chan, and Henderson. And then the same.
Yeah,
back
I agree.
Four,
with you. I would
have
played
five.
Sturridge against Southampton.
So would I, because I think it was the perfect game
for him to come in.
I think
giving
him a half yard, shot on target, you have a better chance of getting the goal.
Yeah,
there.
I think it was the time. But anyway,
Philip.
Yeah, I just think I don't know. The Sturridge thing is very interesting. I think Firmino is his number one forward.
I think that's been proven. Yeah,
without question, yeah. He is.
And I don't think Sturridge gets back into the team unless he wants to either rest Firmino or there's a series of injuries that means that he has to move players around from the front.
I think
three.
One. I
yeah,
think one injury
is
to that
Firmino
front three
is the central.
Yeah,
the,
but neither Mane
three
or Coutinho are going
to. And he's not. If he's fit, he's not going to move him left or right to bring Sturridge in.
I think again,
I don't think he will either.
And I think why he likes Firmino so much is because Firmino tends to drop deep. It just pulls their defence around, so it creates that space for Mane to get in behind. Or if Lallana is going running, he can go into that mid space where Firmino's vacated.
Or as Firmino said himself, all you have to do for Klopp to like it is do exactly as he tells you.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And then some.
And then there's probably the question, if that works, then maybe Sturridge isn't doing what Klopp is telling him.
Yeah, listen, I suppose the Sturridge thing has been done to death.
And
so,
Klopp doesn't like him either. Klopp said he's never going to sing the Sturridge song.
Yeah.
He said it in the press conference today.
So yeah, we agree that Sturridge or a forward comes in at the weekend, or do you stick with Wijnaldum?
Personally, I wouldn't stick with Wijnaldum, but then Klopp might. Like I'm going to say, this is what I love about the current Liverpool setup is I haven't a fucking breathe.
Yeah, you just don't know what he's going to do.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
Like, there's a good chance.
Amazing.
There's a good chance Milner doesn't start and he plays Moreno just for the crack. Like,
you know what? You're right in the sense that could happen, and you wouldn't go, "What the fuck?" You just go, "Oh, he's decided for
I'd
that."
I'd love
today
to see him giving Stewart a chance and pushing Henderson up a little bit, just because Henderson, Sunderland associate.
What? His love in for fucking Kevin Stewart is amazing.
He's going to be the answer.
No, listen, I like him. I like him as a player.
At least he can stay off the board, isn't it? Like that, without putting heads.
Do you know what? Maybe bring
He's the only fat German footballer I can remember.
But do you know what I'm thinking? Maybe bring a Jarry in.
Yeah?
Bring a Jarry in.
Just don't
play Wijnaldum.
Just stick him in
ever. Just for again. Again, he's on the list. He's on the list.
I know he's not on the list yet, but.
Oh, Steve-O, he is.
I know he's not. He hasn't done anything bad enough. Like, he scored a couple of goals. He'll take time to settle in. I think Wijnaldum will be a decent squad player. But at this moment in time, I don't know what his job is.
He's on the list.
I thought you said Firmino's on the list.
For me, Wijnaldum was on the list.
It doesn't take much to get on your fucking list now, in fairness.
When you look at a player...
When you look at the player and
you just there go, it's a nothing. And then I look at him and I go, okay, I want to see all this that the lads are talking about, and it doesn't exist.
You know what I don't see? I don't see, and people are free to point this out to me, and if they can, I'm always open to being corrected, happy to be at any point. So if anybody's listening and they think I'm talking bollocks, absolutely tweet it or, you know, whatever, and tell me I am and point it out to me. But I don't see the levels of energy from him that I was expecting compared to Lallana, compared to Henderson, compared to Coutinho, Firmino, whatever else. I don't see the ability to get stuck in. I've never really seen him make many tackles. Now, people can say, oh, he had so many interceptions. I've never seen him look like he wants to go up and win a header. I've never seen him look like he wants to go and really challenge for a ball. I've never seen the levels of energy that I'm expecting. I don't see really the level of intelligence that I thought he had. I even noticed he had at Newcastle in terms of on the ball and how he pulls into little pockets of space to receive it and to utilise those areas of the pitch. That Alana, that Coutinho, those sort of players do. So I think he's a 7 out of 10 in a huge amount of areas, but he doesn't excel in any one area that really makes him stand out and makes me say, oh yeah, I can see why we bought him.
I think he's the player that people are now using to say, if you can't see what he does, you don't understand football.
Yeah, of course, but that's what wankers.
Well, he used the word transition and every choice.
When in reality, they're using that and they're trying to
because they can't explain
does.
It.
Because you can't explain what he does.
I didn't see much of him for Newcastle, so I can't say what he is before he signed for Liverpool, because I tend not to watch any other football because I really don't like football.
Yeah,
but I like Liverpool, so I'm kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. So I can't tell you what he does good or excels at, like you were saying. I haven't seen at Liverpool what he's going to excel at. So like you two guys were saying, I completely agree. I don't know where he fits in or where he's going to fit in the future.
I don't think he's a bad footballer.
In the same breath, it took Adam Lallana 2 years, you could argue, to get his shit together.
Yes, it did.
So maybe he will come
good. Absolutely. I'm not saying that.
Is Klopp the type of manager to give him the time, the patience for him to come? I don't know whether he is. We're trying to get to, I don't think he can have a passenger.
I don't think he's a passenger quite yet. So what I'm saying here, just so we're clear, I'm not saying he's a bad footballer. I'm not saying he won't succeed. I'm saying at this moment in time, what he's offering for Liverpool, I don't see any standout point to it. And I don't know how you could say you want him in your
his
starting
level
11.
At the minute doesn't warrant the starting position.
That's exactly how I feel. And I hope it can only be good for the club if he improves, if he comes in, if he starts doing something that we benefit from. It can only benefit the club. At this moment in time, I don't see
it. He doesn't look like the player that I watched at PSV.
Yeah, I know what you're saying by that, because to be fair, that was probably at the time that you were you were talking about Firmino from Hoffenheim, and you were talking about him at PSV because he was player of the season.
Yep.
In the
scoring
Dutch league.
Loads of goals.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was playing more as an orthodox number 10 there.
Yeah,
and that's when I thought when I signed him, he was going to be one of the players in that front three.
Mm.
I thought it was going to be him and Coutinho vying for, if you're going to play, say you're going to use Firmino in that role, that'll be him and Coutinho vying for one of those roles. And I thought the reason we signed him was potentially he offered a bigger goal threat than Coutinho, right?
You were way off.
But that's when I was looking at it saying, we're signing this fella.
Yeah.
That's where I see him fitting into the team. And he hasn't played in that position at all. Mm. So I'm looking at
he couldn't get close to that position. And listen, maybe that's where his best position is and he just can't get in there at the moment. Uh-huh. So he's having to play in unorthodox positions.
Ejaria.
Let's just play Ejaria. Okay, so let's move on from Sunderland. We all have a fair amount of agreement in terms of what we want to see. It's not much change because why would it be?
Thanks, Andy, for the tickets.
Thank you to Andy from Neil for the tickets and also for the Swansea ones coming up as well.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and the West Ham ones, as it turns out.
Okay.
David Moyes manages Sunderland.
Fuck David Moyes.
Just thought I'd say that.
Yeah.
And most of the Sunderland players were playing there 10 years ago.
What is your feeling, Phil, for the Sunderland match?
My feeling?
Because I know you think we're going to be beaten. I can see it in your eyes.
Traditionally,
when you smile.
November has always been a shitty month for us.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the teams, Chelsea had a little wobbly spell. Mm-hmm. City have had a little wobbly spell.
We haven't had our wobble.
We haven't had a little pre-Christmas wobbly spell. I think we might be in that little wobbly spell at the moment. I think it might be a poxy draw and everyone gets a bit doom and gloomy on the back of it. Spurs have been in a wobbly spell for how long, and I don't know how they're still close to us. I am fucking confused.
Was saying about
it's because
them,
so many teams.
Interesting what Sunus is
saying.
Sorry,
Neil, what was it that Sunus was saying?
Spurs have. Pochettino has reached the end of his cycle at Spurs. The players are burnt out now.
Yeah, was that what you're saying?
Yeah, that he works in 3-year cycles. He trains them so hard that the group of players he has there now.
The same was said for Klopp.
At Dortmund.
Yeah,
the players were burnt out because that was over
7 years, wasn't it? Though
no,
he was doing it like he moved players.
The pinnacle of his cycle was so he did the last 2 years.
The fourth year of his term.
He was into probably 4 and 5 years of. If you take the first 2 years as build years, then the next three was where he was winning all the trophies, and then the fourth and fifth was where he fell off, and Guardiola
came
in
seventh.
Sunus is saying that Pochettino only lasted 3 years this cycle because the players work so hard.
I know what Sunus is probably getting at. It's very hard to say these things because you're always dealing. It's like people.
It is interesting,
and I agree. You know? And you know what? I love it when you bring up interesting points, Neil. I appreciate that.
I've basically no idea who plays for Sunderland. I know John O'Shea still plays for them.
He doesn't get a game.
Wes Brown probably still plays for them. I think there's a good chance Quinton Fortune is still playing for them.
What's that centre half?
Barini plays for them. Jermaine Defoe plays for them.
He does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sebastian Larsson.
No, the
Steve Bruce plays for them.
Bernie Winters. Bernie Slevin.
Bernie Slevin plays for them.
Bernie Winters.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders.
It's close to Middlesbrough.
It is very
and it's,
close.
They, yeah, I confuse them a fair bit. It's like, yeah.
Why is that now?
Because they're red and white. They're red and white. Yeah. And the two stadiums look very similar.
Who's the young
and there's never
Duncan Watmore.
Who?
He plays for them. The
he sounds
lad.
Like something from 1954.
You know, he actually he got his degree whilst economics, I believe.
Oh.
No, I just made that up.
XG and statistics.
I made that up. But he got his degree whilst still doing his YTS. Don't mind him.
And clear cut chances.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know what an XG is.
His thesis
Paddy McNair plays for them as well.
Who?
Paddy McNair.
Who?
Yet again, one of those players that didn't make it at Man United and ended up at Sunderland or Everton.
Does the Rodwell?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's what happens. It didn't make it at Man United. Oh yeah, so it's clearly Sunderland or Everton.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah,
that's why Steve Bruce is still playing for.
We're going to beat them, I think. Anyway,
I do too. Mm-hmm. I think we.
They've no goalkeeper.
Listen, lads, so I have been wrong before, you know.
Well, they've Manone.
No, I thought he was injured.
No, he was on the bench at the weekend.
Was he?
Yeah, he was on the Jordan Pickford.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't goal.
Just having a look at his stats there earlier. He's quite a good goalkeeper.
Jaccarini, does he still play for him?
No.
The Jaccarini.
No.
Became the best player in the world in the summer there.
Yep.
No, he's back in Italy.
Back in Italy?
Yeah.
Jacko. Jackie, are going well for Zaza, aren't they?
Is, Jackie Reaney. He's one of the Reaneys from Killybegs.
Fat Man.
Yeah. Fat Man. Yeah.
Mrs. Reaney D Block.
Yeah.
Flat Four. How are you, Mrs. Reaney? Is the stew on?
It's been on 4 days.
Where's Jackie gone?
Selling heroin around the corner, man.
Had a great season there.
Okay, so let's before we do Trippers chats, let's have a little prediction from you lads and myself as to what the score will be. Neil, I'm going to start with you with your lovely new hair.
1-0.
1-0 to Liverpool. Okay, Philippe.
Are we home or away?
We are away.
I believe.
At home to Sunderland.
I will believe.
Thanks for the tickets, Andy.
I know it was a joke, for fuck's sake. Thanks for ruining it, Neil.
It wasn't very funny. As like your racist remarks are not very funny, Stephen.
Sorry, Neil.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Any umbrellas?
Let's just take a moment.
Just take a moment. Let's just take a moment. Let's all settle down a bit.
Let's just reflect.
But I think we will win.
Yes.
As we're at home. And I think since we've changed the camera angle due to the new truss, we're a lot better and the pitch looks a lot bigger.
It's all about perspective.
So I would say we are going to win 7-0.
Excellent. 7-0 win at the stadium of Leeds.
We are at the cutting edge of podcasting here at the minute, lads.
No, but Stephen, we're home. We're home.
This really is poor. Okay,
Stephen, we're home.
Let's sharpen it up then. We are at home, Philip. At the Anfield.
At the Anfield.
We are at
the Stadium of Anfield.
The Stadium of Anfield Light. The Stadium of Anfield Light.
Stadium of Trust.
The Stadium of Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody believes in each other.
Socialism.
Now let's move on.
No Trump.
Don't even start me on socialism, right?
Marxism.
You know what? The fucking idiots on there don't even know the difference.
I know,
so
they
it's
don't.
Pointless.
Trump out.
Like your man who was having a go with you and he had his Abby was Lennon.
Yeah.
Do you?
Hello, this is Ronnie Whelan here and you're listening to Tripper Chats. Unbelievable stuff. You ask me anything about Liverpool FC, I will answer it immediately. I'm an encyclopedia. As you know, I played for Liverpool in the 1980s, won many trophies, played with the likes of Kenny Dalglish, Graeme Souness. Oh, what a team we were. We were just unbelievable. Anyway, Tripper Chats.
Trump out. I just want to say, Trump out.
Okay, he's not actually officially
he's
in,
not
yet.
In yet.
He's president-elect.
There you go.
All right, okay. So let's move on to Spirito Fox is his handle. And he says, at the start of this season, if you were offered a guaranteed top four finish, would you have taken it?
What? No, not for me.
If
because
you were given a top four finish at the start of the season, told, yeah, you're guaranteed to finish top four, but that's it, season's over.
No, because the whole,
four,
the whole club
yeah,
is...
The league,
and we don't have to watch a match around
like that. Would you
I'm
going to
take
yeah.
this question, Sim.
Yeah.
The whole club is constructed about winning and winning trophies and winning leagues and cups and whatever. Good. So we should be trying to win the league. Fort is nothing.
I'd have taken it.
Back in the 80s, Fort,
I know you would have,
back in the 80s, Fort is nothing, but Fort is everything these days because it's Champions League football. Get Champions League football, Jurgen Klopp is Champions League football,
well,
and the players you can bring
this
in...
This shit
you
we're
going to
build for next season and the season. Have a pain in me.
Shut it. Shut it. Should it?
I know what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? Let's get fourth, then third, then so I'll be. I could no. It'll be 20 years.
Just get fourth this season.
Just get it.
20 million years.
Get it. That's it. It's in. So just get it.
We missed our chance to win the league. It was last year when Leicester won it.
I know. Anyway, That's neither here nor there. The fact that we didn't win the league was because we had a shit start, which meant Brendan Rodgers was sacked, which meant we got Jurgen Klopp, which means we're in a better position.
Well, so if you go on points per game since the game of the points, then we have more points per game XG created.
Fucking
the minute there was a stack going to get measured, ask me sack
deadly.
I'd have taken it as well. I'd have taken top four.
Do you know we're one of the best teams ever at winning the points in a calendar year?
Yeah, like? if
or points between a certain point in time and another point in time, it makes us look the best. That looks us. Not like during the summer. We're the best team in the world during the summer.
But that doesn't involve winning anything. We're brilliant at getting all those points.
It's
stunning how well, because the amount of times we get the sea tables going, if the league had started in November and only ran until February the 14th, would have been top of the league by 26 points.
Henderson has ran 785,000 miles so far this season.
I did some stats there the other day, and I figured out that since the Premiership started, if we had got 8 points for every win and 4 points for every draw, we'd have won the league every year.
We still would have lost a point to City.
We'd have won the league every year.
But on the Jordan Henderson
stat,
it's believed he's run to Sydney and back.
Yeah, he's more air miles now than Lufthansa that month.
Run to Sydney and
that's how far passing accuracy 175%.
Yeah.
So, Fox, the answer is myself and Phil would have taken it.
The ball comes back to him the other time.
The answer is myself and Phil would have taken it.
Not like the balls on a string, like the bat with the thing on a string.
That's called the yo-yo, mate. Do you know those balls on a string? It's called the yo-yo, mate.
Henderson's like that with a football now. Now, it hasn't given up possession since early 94.
It's real with that Guardiola is just playing videos of Henderson's passing to himself.
Come on, goes,
to see and
draws a triangle on the screen.
This
is how we do it now.
Right, let's move on. Neo Geo says, now that Stevie is retired from football, how long do you think it'll be before he's announced by LFC in some
new role? Give us a bollocks. Next.
How long do you think it is?
He could be there by the end of the week.
I think if Henderson runs another 14,000 miles, because he'd be close to getting to the moon, they'll announce Stevie G as the global moon ambassador.
He's going to be the first man to run.
The lunar ambassador.
Henderson is going to be the first man to run across the channel.
Yeah. At half pace.
What do you order on a plane when they come by with the little trolley and say,
any
drinks or snacks, sir?
Any gaggle, love?
If
it's not free, no.
I already have a meal.
Yeah. Are you one of those boys?
Can of Bulmers.
On the plane?
No, I wouldn't. Now, what do I order on the plane? Usually a little drink.
A little tipple.
A little tipple, yeah.
A little
double like the German trip.
Jesus Christ.
I've taken to having a plastic glass of wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do understand that and would do it myself sometimes.
Yeah. It's quite relaxing when you're sitting on the plane.
A little glass of bubbly.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Now, although you want to be in business class or better because you need the proper flutes to...
Yeah.
To be drinking the champagne.
I always bring a proper flute. I normally go for a little bit of a drink and maybe some peanuts or an old box. It's the only time I eat Pringles ever is on a plane.
On a plane?
Because they get the
little canister. No, just because they're handy.
No, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's what you were going to say, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. If the Day Trippers crew was starving on a remote island, who would be eaten first? That comes
in from.
We answered
this question before.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Was I selected?
It was you.
Carson's
you. Alright, yeah. 10 that's thanks.
Or Paul Brennan.
Sharing it comes.
Or Paul Brennan.
So you score. So Aaron Olsen asks, and this is our last one. He says, your goal celebration if you scored the game winner in the 90th minute. What do you do?
Against Hilda.
Anyone. You're playing for Liverpool. Score winner, 90th minute in front of the cop.
Get me to Lewis of a miracle here.
Yeah.
What? Factor scored a goal.
Yeah.
He's cured. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Phil?
Probably just do a cartwheel or something.
I like an old Alan Shearer, one arm in the air.
I hate that.
Well, you have scored it on Phil Stable.
I have.
Did you do the one hand in the air?
No. Actually, what did I do? I don't know.
Rub your cock along the goal line, did you?
I laughed in Michael Thomas's face.
Oh.
Just because I was like, I was just like elated with fucking the fact that I'd scored a goal. And him and Jan Mulby. Yeah, Moby's right beside him.
I'll do a cartwheel and then I'll jump into the crowd.
Can I just say something, right? Because I know we've spoken about the fact of playing there before and whatever else. Yeah, Moby is a fairly big man, right? And he's well past his playing days at a professional level. Mm-hmm. He is still an exceptional footballer. I mean, his ability to ping 60,
really
70 yard passes, his ability to take a ball in,
like Kevin
Sheedy, and I mean literally within 6 inches to 12 inches of space, be able to manipulate that ball and just drop people on their arse. And he's still probably 12 stone.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Jan, I got your back here.
Yeah, if I could.
But you reckon?
I think Chan was in room with him.
Hang on a second. Alan Kennedy. He's about 62, 63. And that fucker never stopped running.
Wordy little cunt.
Game up. Mm. He was playing left back. He ran up and down and up and down that fucking pitch all game long. I couldn't get over it for an old lad of his age.
Did you keep up with him, Stable?
Didn't me bollocks.
Didn't me piece.
Do you know what celebration they need to bring back?
What?
The three-man baby celebration that the Brazilians used to do.
You tend to only do that when you've had a baby. Now, I know you've just had a baby.
You can do that every couple of years.
Maybe with Periscope now, will we? We just do a Periscope with the three of us like this. You know, the baby rock.
But like, don't you know? No, because for a while, it just became a fashionable thing to do.
Right.
And lads were just running over and doing
without even having babies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrible.
I know, yeah. Look, with somebody's baby.
That's like doing the gangster limp when you don't even hurt yourself. Like, think how that makes...
What's that thing called where did you put the hand in the air?
A wave, that's called
the dab.
Hello.
The dab.
Hello.
Call the wave, Philip. I think you've baby brain, have you? What do you call that when people over the mountain noises
what's
come
that?
Out? What's talking,
that?
Phil.
What's that one when they put the hand in the air?
When they put the hand, you know when they wave in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they go,
Deutschland über alles.
Steve, you know the one when they put the, celebration?
Are you trying to say something?
Are you trying to say something here?
No, I'm not.
Nothing to do with Trump?
I'm nothing to do with Trump. I'm not alt-right either, just so we're all clear on this, yeah? Fuck's sake.
You can just say alt-something now.
Alt-J. I like alt-J.
Yeah, I like alt-J.
They're a good band.
Yep. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't. That's the sort
of
fella you were.
Too cool, man.
Alt-J are playing at Mad Cool in Madrid next year.
I'll be at it.
I just booked my tickets today.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got it.
Foo Fighters, Green Day, Kings of Leon, alt-J...
Phil won't be able to go. He might be having a baby around that time.
Okay, as always, we always want to say thanks to the lads here in Astro Park who make this happen. Just got a bit of news. It's going to be our long-term home, so very happy about this.
Hurrah!
Hurrah! And we can finally get to doing those renovations. So they're
renovation!
Beautiful, Phil. They're on the way.
I'm off out to buy loads of stuff in the Black Friday sale.
Oh, great.
Can't wait.
Phil loves Black Friday. How do you feel about Cyber Monday?
Cyber Monday is not really my... the fucking board is broken. I better tore myself up there. There we go. Cyber Monday...
Not really your gig.
Not really my gig, because like, essentially, like for me, Black Friday, it's all online anyway, so yeah. Cyber Monday is just sort of like a tag on.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, well, this was meant to be the outro, so let's keep going with that.
All right, Graham.
we're going to say thanks to the Astro Park, as always. Thanks to you, as always, for listening. In the bunker tonight was Phil Casey, Neil Gray, and myself, Steve-O. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. Good luck.
What's the ticket of shades? My dad brought me home to Tenerife.
Coban.
I got you them Ray-Bans here you were looking for. Look.
Coban.
Coban.
The coca. Coban. All right.
I believe that. They're genuine Cobans. You can't beat the genuine Cobans there.
Neil, I got you them shades. You love now the Cobans.
And 400 Silco Blue. Thanks, Matt.
Classy bunch.
From Fatima Mountains.
You can tell. Okay. First up, lads, let's have a...
Start again,
will you? Do you not like my keys? No, we're not starting again. This is real.
Can I suggest
post-edited
maybe
radio.
I'm boy.
You're boy.
I'm boy.
The best deal ever.
I'm boy.
Ever.